Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. We start off with the number 4 ranked Upperman boys team in Class 2A and Coach Bobby McWilliams and how his defense has led his team so far this season.
Well, I think these guys have really, we put a lot of focus on it in practice, and that's probably been probably 70-80% of our focus has been defensively trying to really improve and get better, being able to do little things. And they've kind of started to take a little bit more pride in what they're doing. So I think that's the biggest reason why you can contribute. You know, the start we've had to this point has just been how we've been able to play defense and really rebound too and control the boards.
So is being aggressive and attentive on defense, is that something that you and your coaching staff have had to preach about?
Well, we talk about it a lot. And, now it's gotten to the point to where that's kind of who they have become. And, we talked before the season. We knew that that's an area that we're going to have to improve in a lot. And we've focused in it in practice, and they've focused on it themselves in practice and in games. And so, I think we've improved overall defensively at different levels.
You know, every game I see there's 4 or 5 players that end up in double figures. How much easier does it make your job as a coach when you're not really having to worry about having a consistent score every night?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you've got that many weapons, it makes it, a lot easier. And you're right, we do have several people that can put points on the board at any given time or any given night. So, for me as a coach, we try to take advantage of those areas that are our strengths, and like any other coach would. But we're fortunate with the amount of depth that we have, and I think that you're probably right. I think that maybe what helps us this year, maybe even compared to last year, is just the amount of people that we have, the depth that we have, and how much better our benches became.
It seems like there's just no easy way to stop this team. How good is this team when it's at its very best in your eyes?
Well, I don't know. That's hard to tell, and jury's still out on that one. So we just have to kind of take it one step at a time. We know that we have depth, and I see that we have a lot of talented players, and I think the kids are confident in each other, which is probably, as big as a compliment as a teammate could have. And the coach, you see other kids have confidence or each kid has confidence in the other players. And, that's what you want, because you can't fool them. If they trust each other on the floor and they feel comfortable with each other on the floor, then they're probably capable of doing what each other feels that they can do. So as a result of that, for me, like I said, it's just a big bonus to have the depth that we have on both ends of the floor, and then so many kids that can do so many things offensively is a huge bonus. But I give the credit to these guys. People don't realize the amount of time and energy they spend in the off season working on their game, and this is where you get to see that. So, really happy for them and proud for them as individuals on how much they've grown and developed as players.
We stay in Putnam County for our next interview with head coach Jamie Gillies and the Lady Cavaliers, who are winners of their last 3 games.
I guess you could say we're just playing good together. We're finding ways to win. Are finding each other, and I guess we've found a way to play with each other and learn our strengths, and still got a lot to work on. But I think we're rolling right now.
And Coach, last night against York, you started off hot. What went well in the first half?
Our shots fell. We got to the offensive boards really well, and were able to get multiple looks at the basket and put the ball in the basket. And defensively, we played really good. We did a good job of keeping Haley Johnson away from the basket as best we could. And then we came out in the third quarter and kind of our shots didn't fall as much as they did in the first quarter. And we got down a little bit and had to fight for it there at the end.
You hit on it a little bit, but was it something that York was doing, or was it something that you guys were doing, or was it a little mixture of both that kind of allowed them back?
I think both teams played well in the second half. You know, they made some big shots. We lost some personnel a couple times, and they capitalized on it. I don't think we played very poorly in the second half. We just, our shots didn't fall. They did a great job boxing us out in the second half to where we didn't get multiple looks at it. And so we really had to work for every shot we got. And, you know, in the end, I think we found a way to win and pull away from it. And showed a lot of grit by my team, you know, to lose that lead, but to get back in it and make sure we finished it out.
That's where it becomes a really complete basketball game. When the shots aren't falling, you've got to go down and play great defense, not to give it up to where you don't have a chance to come back at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, both teams at the end were in the bonus. And so we knew when, you know, it was a tie game and in the end of regulation and they had the ball, we knew we had to play solid defense and not put them on the free throw line. And so we did a good job of you know, staying the course and playing good solid defense. You know, we're a pretty good defensive team. We have our lapses every now and then, but for the most part, I thought we did a good job. And like I said, I don't think we played bad. I think both teams played good.
Notice KK Graves had a big night with 21 points, and I've heard you say a couple times throughout the year, like, we've not seen the player she can be that y'all get to see in practice. Is she starting to come around a little bit and starting to play in the games like you see her play in practice a little bit?
KK is just an unbelievable athlete, and the absolute best thing about her is she's a sophomore.
Right.
So she is playing at a very, very high level for a 15-year-old. She's doing a lot for us right now. She's going to the basket. She's knocking down threes. Her free throw percentage is great. Defensively, she's, you know, a lot of nights guarding the best player. Sometimes she has to guard a post. And so she's just all around a very good player.
In segment two of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from the Pickett County and Livingston Academy boys coaches who played a thriller last Friday night in Overton County. Coach Aminette's Bobcats have played a difficult schedule based upon games played and days between games so far this season. Coach Aminette's looking forward to the consistency of the district schedule coming up.
You know, I'm hopeful for that. We, we as a single A school that is a little geographically isolated, outside of our conference games, we get stuck a little bit trying to find those games to fill. And a lot of times we get stuck with back-to-back games. And we had an extra back-to-back game where the Putnam County school system decided to cancel games one night due to the possibility of snow. And when they did that, they gave us another back-to-back game that wasn't even on the schedule with Monterey. And it's had an impact on us. I think you can see it. We're still a young team. And, you know, we beat Livingston on Friday night, and then we've got to turn around and play a real tough Clinton County game on Saturday night. And fight to the end and get beat, and then we turn around and have to play Red Bull and Springs 2 days later, and we played pretty poorly last night, and a lot of it was fatigue. You know, a team like Red Bull and Springs has got 8 seniors, and we've got 2 seniors, and it just makes a difference when you've got an 18 or 19 year old kid out there versus a 15 or 16 year old kid, as far as the physical nature of back-to-back games. I think it has an impact, and I am excited to be getting away from it.
I understand that, and I wanted to touch on your game against Livingston last Friday night. You've beat them twice now this season by 1 point each time, and Zach Aminette had a big shot there, hit a layup there at the, you know, under 10 seconds to actually be the game-winning basket for you guys. So just what about that Livingston game produces such a good close contest?
You know, I think that's a strong rivalry. Us and Livingston, you know, for my lifetime, has always been a big game. You know, when our crowds come out, there's a couple of thousand people usually there. It's huge games. The kids get excited, and we've been sometimes you got to be a little lucky, and I think luck fell on our side. Both games this year and this one, we've lost a game or two that we were unlucky, but we were lucky against Livingston, and you know that last play. You know, kind of what happened, we got up about 14 points in that game, and then I had 2 starters get 4 fouls at the end of the third quarter that really – and Jimmy did a good job of taking advantage of that. Matthew Sales got hot and had a big fourth quarter. But, you know, at the end of that game, people talk about the layup that Zach made, but it was really the play of the game. It was pretty cool to see happen. Matthew Sells makes a fantastic shot with about 13 seconds to go, I think. And Slade Copeland doesn't hesitate. He gets the ball out of the net just immediately. Will Amonette doesn't hesitate. He gets up the sideline where he can outlet to it. And Zach Amonette doesn't hesitate. And he takes off sprinting as soon as Matthew gets the shot. So we get the ball in. Slade gets the ball in. Will gets it, doesn't dribble it, throws an outlet pass. And Zach gets to take, you know, one big long stride dribble and lay it up there on three people. And it would kind of happen before Livingston really knew what was going on. So Zach converted it. And which it was a great shot, but really the two plays of the that made that happen was Slade's ability to get the ball out of the net and Will's court awareness to get it up the floor without a dribble.
Coach Jamie Miller's Livingston Academy boys basketball team rebounded from a tough loss Friday night with a big win on the road against Warren County on Monday night in Mintonville.
I like the way we actually showed up in the first half, and I thought we played really focused and with a purpose. That's something we've been trying to get a little bit better at. I don't think we've started our games recently real confident, especially early in the season. I think we've improved slowly at it, but we made some leaps and strides the other night about really starting the game with a purpose and being offensively being threat.
One thing that really kind of sticks out to me about this team is the high motor level that every player seems to play with. Do you emphasize that to your team when it comes to getting on the rebounds and getting to 50-50 balls?
Yeah, we do. We do that a ton. That's one of our biggest things. I don't think we do as good a job at it as we could. I think we're getting better at it. I think we got some young guys that are finally getting their motor turned up and getting to the level that we want them to play with, because I think those games, especially late in the season, as hard as our district games are, I think that a lot of your games are won and lost with those plays.
Do you think that's also kind of a good way to combat the lack of height that your team has?
I think we have to do that with our size. This is one of the smallest teams. It is the smallest team I've ever coached. So, you know, to be able to get those rebounds, to be able to even the playing field a little bit, we have got to be able to get after those 50-50 balls.
Nick Choate is a player that I've looked at as he's really come on strong as of lately, and I hadn't really seen much of him earlier in the year. What led to him having this increased role he's had of late?
To be honest, him being able to stay healthy for more than a week or two. I think Nick has battled injuries since he's been here. Last year, we probably would have been able to use Nick a little more. I think right after Christmas, we started trying him a little as a freshman, because it's hard to not give a kid a look with size like he has. And he was injured during the Christmas break in a game, didn't play anymore that year, and he got injured at the beginning of this year during workouts, and was injured a second time when practice and season started. So this is probably the first time Nick's ever really had the opportunity to put a straight month in during practice, and I think he's grown a ton. He's probably 6'5 right now. We haven't actually measured him in a couple months, and I think he gained some confidence, and he has a good ability around the rim. His touch is good, so we're really pleased he's changing our team.
Does having him in the post kind of help relieve some of the pressure off your perimeter players as well?
It does. It does. We got guys down there, out of position. We've got guys down there trying to play a position that's not natural for them. And I think defensively, that length that he gives us, he's able to get some rebounds that even some guys that we have are in the right position are unable to get. And I think in Warren County, I think Nick just had 6 points. He's actually scored more than that this year on more than one occasion. But the things that he brought other than scoring really helped alleviate some pressure on some of our other guys.
So it seemed to me like this team really found a good groove and got on a good roll when you guys were playing in your holiday tournaments.
No, I think it's similar to something we see every year. You know, we have a strong football program here, and we typically get guys late. You know, even if you're rolling pretty good with young guys, when you put other players in, no matter how coachable they are, good kids, the chemistry takes a while. And I think that gives us some time to get up, spend some time together, to play quite a few games, to get a little bit more comfortable, and actually start to get some kind of a rhythm that we need going into this district play.
At the halfway mark of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we will check in with two teams ranked in this week's Associated Press's Top 10, the Lady Buffaloes from Clark Range and the Clay County Bulldogs. Welcome back to the third segment of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach Lamar Rogers of Clark Range reflects on his two matchups against the number one ranked team in 2A Macon County so far this season.
Playing with Clark Range is a 1-point game in the fourth quarter, and they just made a few more plays. Or, you know, they're like you just said, they played together 4 years and a lot of experience. They was in the state semifinals last year, got five starters back plus a transfer. That's helped them. And that's a recipe for success. So I think Westmoreland is the only team that's beat them this year. But they play great defense, first of all. They've got two guards that just, strike that defensive post and stay down all the time. That keeps some of my players from penetrating. And then, they've got some good size inside. We played them in the last time White County Christmas tournament. They would beat us 55-48. And then the next night, I watched them against White County championship game, and they had White County 57-22 at the half and ended up, finishing 85-48. So I told my girls I might need to apologize. Maybe our defense wasn't as bad as I thought it was. But each game's went down good. They probably got more scores personnel-wise that can explode for 20 points at any game, throughout the season. They're just very solid. They're the favorites to win the Double A. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But anything can happen. Basketball's a tournament sport. They're just really solid. It's good for us to play them. We played them twice. It makes us better, and hopefully we've helped them. And then we played Blackman and Tullahoma. That's helped us. We're trying to play a very attractive schedule. So playing them was. And we're going to play them again next year. So that's our mindset to play good teams like Macon County to make us better.
And, Coach, anytime you score 80-plus points, it's got to be a good night offensively, and y'all did that last night as you beat Monterey in Monterey 81-39. Just how did that game unfold for your girls?
Well, we're pretty good, but we're wanting to get better, of course. We can do a lot of stuff better. We pressed and basically had the game where I think it's 53-19. And then my B team played the last half. Might have the starters in there about 3 minutes of the third quarter to be sure. Get them a little more floor time. But we played good defense. Monterey had some good players. They had a Hudson girl that actually had 20-something points on us 2 years ago, and she's probably a senior this year. So we're trying to play a little extra attention to some of them, but we got them down the floor good, and our shots went in. Everybody contributed. I had one freshman come off the bench, Maddie Bush, and had 16 points in the game. We got to play everybody on the team, which is always good, and get the young girls a lot more experience. I've got five good juniors that start most of the time, and I've got three good freshmen that could start. They're doing their job and everything, so we've got a good mixture of youth and experience. That competition helps us. I think the starters, whoever's starting, knows they got to play good and practice good to be out on the floor.
The Clark Range girls aren't the only AP Top 10 team ranked in this segment of the high school playbook. Let's check in with Coach Rob Edwards and the Clay County Bulldogs.
We are. We're getting, I feel like each game we progressively get a little bit better as some of these guys learn, just the intangible things that you can't really teach, the things that you have to learn by experience.
One thing the players seemed like they were really mentioning a lot was that their help side defense and the communication just all kind of needed to get better.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Communication is key. The way we play defense, we have to talk and help one another out. And if we don't communicate, we don't have a chance to stop anybody.
Who's the player that you would look at as kind of the focal point of, this player really sets the tone for us on defense?
Well, that's probably Jake Ashlock, and just all across the board, he sets the tone for us. He's probably not our best defender, but he's definitely our best communicator. He gets everybody where they're supposed to be, and he communicates well. Gunnar Silk is probably our best defender, just one-on-one and one-on-balls defender, but Jake's definitely the best communicator.
Speaking of Jake, one thing I think we haven't talked much about is rebounding, and it seems like you've got the players that know how important crashing the boards is.
Well, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. It makes it pretty tough. You know, we something we kind of pride ourselves on is you know, getting that first rebound that comes off when the other team shoots it. So we're going to give up a few offensive, but I think for the most part we've done a pretty fair job of limiting teams to one shot.
It seems like the second half is where the team pulls away. Is that just a testament to how well you guys make adjustments at halftime?
I think these guys understand the importance of coming out and playing in the third quarter. We typically try to win the third quarter, in particular the first 4 minutes of the third quarter each game, and we feel like that gives us the momentum to carry through the second half.
Guys like Jeff and Gunner are both starting to find their rhythm. What do each of those guys bring specifically to the table that the team needs?
Well, Gunner's our best on-ball defender, like I said. He's going to guard the other team's best player each night, assuming they're a perimeter player. So that's where his value is. But at the same time, he's capable of scoring as well. I think he hit three threes last night against Jackson County. So he's another guy that you have to guard. And Jeff has become a better defender, and his length really helps us a lot. Offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, and just defending, that four spot for us.
Do you like where your team is mentally right now heading into that part of the schedule?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we, like you mentioned earlier, we lost the championship game at York, and we took off Sunday, and then we had a one day of practice on Monday, first day back to school. So it was a rugged type practice. You know, it was kind of sloppy, but I told the guys Saturday, you know, great teams are measured not by wins and losses, but how they respond to those losses. And I thought last night we really responded well to the loss of York.
In segment four of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we travel to Jamestown to chat with Russell Taze and to Spencer as we visit with Coach Sapp and the Eaglettes. Thank you for joining the fourth segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach Taze and the York boys team recently won the Sergeant York Invitational Christmas Tournament over Clay County 66-59. Let's hear what Coach Taze thought about that performance.
We went through a stretch here where and finishing up with the tournament, we played, five good solid games in a row, played well against Clay County in the finals, played a good solid four quarters and won our tournament, and real pleased with how we looked.
So in your game against Washburn, you got a chance to kind of rest your starters as well as get other kids playing time that might not otherwise get it.
Yeah, that happens occasionally. You know, generally our schedule's pretty tough, and we just kind of welcome a night like that when we can get all of our kids in and rest our varsity players a little bit. So it was good, and I think that was a factor that kind of helped us in the tournament as well.
Looking at the Clay County game, how do you think your team did as far as controlling the pace of the game just the entire way?
Well, one of the things that we were trying to stress, especially in that game, was, we've got to play four quarters, intense basketball, players being focused, concentrating on what we're doing, limiting turnovers, doing a good solid job defensively, just doing the things that you need to do to win a game and to just focus and concentrate on it for four quarters. The first time we played Clay County, I didn't feel like we did that. I didn't think we played with good intensity played a game with four quarters, they were able to, slip up on us in the end, and they got us. But I thought the other night we did a lot better job of kind of controlling the tempo and controlling the outcome of the game. And I was, again, very, very proud of our guys and the effort they put out.
Looking at how he's played against other teams in your district and just other teams in the start of the season, it looks like you guys held Grant Strong relatively in check.
Yeah, Clay County, a good, solid basketball team. All their kids are fundamentally solid. But we knew that Ashlock and Strong were going to be the two guys that's going to get most of the points for them. And so our idea was that, we've got to keep those two guys in check. We got to keep them under control. And I thought the second half of the game the other night, we did a really good job of kind of keeping Strong away from the basketball, keeping it out of his hands. And, just done a good job defensively with him. Ashlock was a little different story. Ashlock kind of kept him in the game, but I thought we did a good job with Strong.
What does it do for this team when you got all three of Roger, Noah, and Riley playing at a high level?
It's a difference, it's just night and day difference in how we perform and how we look throughout the game. We've got four guys that we feel very strong about, and when all four of those guys, that's including Noah, Roger, Riley, and Nicholas Smith, when those four guys are prepared, they're playing well, they're focused, playing well together, I feel comfortable about us playing about anybody. And it's very important. The Clay County game, for example, we had five players in double figures. And that's the type of, effort and team play and, contributions from everybody that we got to have. And we played last night at Cookeville, and we had Roger Meadows had 26, Noah had 18, and, we had five points from the other guys. And it's going to be hard for us to beat quality teams without some, all of our other guys contributing and doing what they need to do and showing up and giving a good effort. So it makes it difficult on us. Two guys can't carry the load for an entire game, and that's kind of what happened with us last night. So when we got all of our guys, when we're focused and we're kind of all on the same page, I feel very good about our chances with anybody we play. But, when that's not the case, then we tend to make situation difficult for ourselves.
Coach Tyler Sapp with the Van Buren County Eaglets feels like his team started slow in both of their games after Christmas, but he's happy that they were able to find ways to win the game.
We come out a little slow in both games to start, not being ready to go, but we've battled back and come away with two victories. So, you're happy to win, but you'd rather play bad and win than play bad and lose. So, we're always happy with getting wins.
So Tuesday night, you had big performances from Emma Scoggins with 23 points and Layla Bolden with 21 points. How did they play?
Emma carried the scoring load for us the first half. She played well. She's had two big games in a row coming off of Christmas break. She had 15 against Jackson and, like you said, 23 last night. She's been playing solid. She's been playing tough. And then Layla come on at the start of the third quarter for us. We got a few turnovers, got some transition buckets, and I think she scored 8 or 10 straight to start the third quarter for us. That's what we need. We need that out of both of them. I mean, they're two girls who can average 20 a night, and we need both of them to be scoring if we want to beat the teams we need to beat.
When a player gets hot like that, do you have to tell the rest of the girls, hey, let's feed her, or do they just kind of, in the rhythm of the game, understand what's going on? And
although she scored, I'm looking at the book right here. She scored 9 in the third quarter, and 8 of them was in a row. And all of those were where we turned them over and was in transition. So we were getting the turnovers, getting deflections and grabbing it, and we were just kicking it out, and she was going running and scoring. In that situation in transition, then yeah, I mean, everybody knows to get her the ball, but I think we're smart enough to realize and see, hey, this girl's hot. We need to get her the basketball and see what's going on. But last night specifically, it was more just all those points come in transition.
In segment 5 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we will hear from the Warriorettes of White County and the boys' team at Stone Memorial. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. White County girls coach Michael Dodgen recaps his team's trip to Oregon for the Nike Classic.
Well, I mean, obviously it was an experience for those kids that hopefully they'll, remember and not forget. And just the experience of being out on the West Coast and playing out on the West Coast and playing some different teams that ironically or ideally we'll never see again. But it was a good experience off the floor and on the floor for those kids.
All right, so the next game we'll talk about is the DeKalb one from last night.
Yes, sir.
Obviously a tough one, falling overtime. What did you see from DeKalb?
you know, DeKalb played Saturday against Cookeville and didn't play very well, and kind of, you know, Cookeville handed it to him pretty good. And just, you know, knowing the type of coach that Danny is, and he's got some competitors on his team, they were going to come back ready to play last night. And they did. They played really well last night offensively and defensively and shot the ball really well. We just didn't respond in the first half. I thought we played really well in the second half, and we played good in overtime. But when you miss multiple layups and you shoot 64% from the free throw line, it's going to be tough to win any basketball game, especially a close basketball game. So, you know, we've got to respond and recover. I mean, we're not healthy right now. You know, Mia is out for a little while. We don't know how long. We're waiting to hear back on that. So, you know, we're in a situation where we're having to scramble a little bit to get some stuff done, but it shouldn't matter. We should be ready to step up to play and try to help out there, and we haven't done a good job in that.
So that actually transitions perfectly into my next question, because there's two players that I specifically wanted to talk about, and the first one was Elena, because she's played so well the entire year. How important now, more so, is she with Mia out?
Well, I mean, she's going to have to step up and not only continue to fill her void, but, you know, she's got to, you know, transition into a four player and probably makes her a little uncomfortable there, but she's going to have to play that spot and play that role. And, you know, again, if Mia's out 2 weeks or Mia's out 2 days or the rest of the year, we won't know that till later on. But, I mean, it's just one of those situations where Elena's going to have to step up, and we're going to have some other people step up too, that I don't necessarily need them to score. I just need them to play hard and be ready to play.
So who are some of the players that you're looking at that you're saying, if we can get these players playing well, we can keep this streak rolling?
Well, I mean, Morgan Quick has played really, really well. I mean, we've been without Mia now. This is the fourth game because she got hurt out in Portland. So this is the fourth game we've actually played without her, and Morgan Quick has stepped up and played really well. Kendra Parker stepped in and played really, really well. You know, Jensen Lane's going to have to step in and play some big minutes, and then we're going to have to rely on a freshman and Nia Powers. And you know, when her number's been called the last three games, she's done a really good job with it. So, you know, we're going to have some learning and growing pains, but, you know, you can't use that as an excuse. You know, you got to be ready to play.
From Sparta to Crossville, we visit with Neil Capps and the Stone Memorial boys, who have won 7 straight ball games.
Well, we're just, you know, we're playing pretty well. We're playing really playing solid defense. And, you know, if you can, you know, they always say, you know, scoring points fills seats, but playing defense and rebounding wins championships and wins games. So we're trying to be the better defensively every day. Every defensive sequence is only finished when you rebound the ball well out of. If you don't rebound the ball well, you just played defense in vain. So we're defending really well. We're obviously shooting the ball better. We had our struggles earlier in the year shooting the basketball, and we've improved throughout the last several weeks. Just really been trying to focus on shooting the ball better, getting a lot of reps up in practice. And so I'm really pleased with the work we're putting in that way, and it always helps. That makes one coach I talked to, college coach I talked to years ago, said probably the most important stat there is field goal shooting percentage, because when a player sees that ball go through the hole, it just kind of it puts a lot of people at ease. You know, it allows you to get your get back and get your defense set. So you know, the other team's having to come in to a set defense, and it just you're just all around better team whenever you are making baskets. So we're just doing the little things of what it boils down to, and obviously whenever you're you know the more time you spend with the people, you develop better chemistry, and we're getting our chemistry, we're being more consistent. So just trying to do the little things.
And Coach, we'll recap your last couple games here and start with Cumberland County on Saturday. Got a big win at home against an in-county rival.
No question. You know, CCHS, Coach Foster does a good job over there. And, you know, in the past few years, it's been back and forth. And, you know, we were able to get a big win there. That's our, I think, our fourth win in a row against a good team, and it's a really hard game to play. And the reason I say that is, you know, we have so many guys there that are, you know, they've got really good friends across from them there. And when you got your best buddies that you've played against your whole life playing against you, there's a lot of emotion because you want to win. You run faster. You shoot. Your shots are a little bit more erratic, and you're focused more on beating your buddy instead of just doing your job. And so it takes a while. We got off to a pretty rough start in that game. Went in the half down by six. You know, we were able, the kids, you know, were able to go in a half, and we made a few adjustments, and they came out in the second half, and they played much, much better in the second half, and were able to get a big win, like you said, versus our crosstown rival. So I was happy for the guys in that one.
Thank you for joining us each and every week on the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to check in at ucsportsnation.com throughout the week to see how your favorite high school teams are playing. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.